G'day friends, my name's Mark. Keep that passage open in front of you. I trust you've also found an outline on the website which will help you follow along. It's great that we can consider once again the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. So how about we begin by praying together? Let's pray. Our Father and Creator, we thank you, we praise you for the gift of your Son. We ask that as we consider this passage today, that we'll see your glory, filled with an understanding of the significance of your Son and why you sent him into the world, the man who establishes peace between us, the one who enables us to endure and experience joy despite suffering. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a pastor, I am always eager to find out what I might say or do to help you persevere through hard times, like through this lockdown. Actually, I would love to help you, not only to help you endure, but to also find contentment in our current situation. I took a bit of a poll this week in what I might say and what I might do to encourage others. So firstly, my gospel team suggested I should say to people that you're not actually missing anything because everything is closed. Now that is slightly amusing to some people, but it doesn't really encourage endurance, does it? It's pretty negative in my opinion. Or I could make you a meal or bake you a pie to add to your COVID kilos. I suspect that would only bring you temporary joy and relief. That is if you could appreciate my cooking, which few people do. I could be your personal spiritual trainer. Read the Bible with you, pray with you, help you make wise decisions, and help you walk in faith. That would be mutually beneficial for both of us. But unfortunately, I can't be with you 24 hours a day, and in fact, all our meetings would have to be on Zoom. No one likes Zoom, and I can't be with you every moment that you struggle or face temptation. Maybe I could bring you great joy by getting on the phone to our Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, and asking her to remove all the laws regarding our lockdown. Obviously, I have no persuasive power over the New South Wales government, nor will it deal with really the cause of the lockdown, the COVID pandemic, or the virus. Obviously, if you're depending on someone like me to get you through this current lockdown, then I doubt you will endure, I doubt you'll find joy. How then do we persevere? How might we approach these times of isolation and uncertainty with a sense of contentment? Well, don't despair, there is hope, because in today's passage we're told something that gives us great hope and great joy. We're told a message that is life-changing. It enables us to endure, and it is a message of joy. Not just for our current lockdown, but actually for all of life. The good times and the bad times. So let's listen again to one of the most significant events in human history. The human birth of our Creator and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our passage at the start of Luke 2 follows neatly on from what we've already heard in Luke's Gospel. Do you remember the two birth announcements in Luke chapter 1? The angel Gabriel had announced to Elizabeth and Zechariah that they would have a child, John, and the announcement also to Mary that she would give birth to Jesus. Those announcements were filled with Old Testament expectations and with a great sense of fulfillment. For example, the angel Gabriel said about Mary's son in chapter 1 from verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Those verses are referring us back to God's promises to Abraham about making him great, giving him a great name, making him a great nation. They also refer us back to King David and the promises that one of his descendants would reign forever. Last week we read about how God fulfilled his promise to Zechariah and Elizabeth, giving them their son, John. And John's birth gave them such great joy. You might remember how Zechariah's song was filled with praise to God for remaining faithful to his promises. So we come this week in today's passage to the birth of Jesus, a birth at a particular point of history when the entire civilized world is in upheaval. You see, Luke begins by setting Jesus' birth within the context of great worldwide events, events somewhat similar to our worldwide pandemic, which impact the individual. For Caesar Augustus had called for another census. See that in verses 1 to 3 of Luke 2? The Jewish historian Josephus tells us that Augustus called for numerous census registrations between 30 AD and 40 AD. A census was how Augustus actually collected his taxes. The registration was a political tool to control conquered nations and to gather money. And such decisions impacted the whole world because all people were required to go to their hometowns. Luke isn't just giving us an approximate, he isn't really giving us an approximate date for Jesus' birth. There is a calendar he could have referred to give us a precise date. Rather, we're being told the whole world is in turmoil. Everyone was being affected by the demands of the Roman Empire. So Luke turns to tell us how Joseph and Mary are impacted by these events. They have to go to their hometown, or Joseph's hometown, Bethlehem. You see that in verse 4. And Luke informs us and really reminds us that this is the town where the great Israelite king David was born. In fact, Joseph is a descendant of David. Another reminder of God's promises that Mary's son would fulfill the promises to King David. Yet such assurances don't hide the struggles this couple is facing. Mary has to travel from northern Israel up to Bethlehem while she's pregnant. I guesstimate that's about 150 kilometres if they're skirting around Samaria. And if that isn't hard enough, we're told that Mary is only betrothed to Joseph. It's a very embarrassing and scandalous situation for this first century couple. Can you imagine how Mary felt throughout this ordeal? Well, in the midst of this worldwide upheaval and the struggles and embarrassment of this couple, the baby Jesus is born. And Luke describes Jesus' birth from verse 6. Have a look again, verse 6. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. The details are very matter of fact, aren't they? Luke is super brief. Jesus was born, he was wrapped in cloth, you know, that's the first century equivalent of a wonder suit. We did something similar with our kids when they were born, wrapped them in muslin cloth. The interesting detail that Luke gives us is Jesus is placed in a manger. Now, a manger is actually a food trough, an animal's food trough that you would find in a barn. With the entire world on the move, we're not surprised that rooms are scarce. However, we're actually expecting the Christ, the Son of the Most High God to be born. Yet this child, Jesus, is born in such humble circumstances. Is this the one who will fulfill God's promises to Abraham and to David? Is this the Son of the Most High God, this boy lying in this food trough? Well, while the birth of Jesus is presented as a very concise fact amidst the context of world history and a couple struggles, Luke goes on to say that this birth actually is of great cosmic significance. For as we go on, we're introduced to a group of shepherds who are out in the fields near Bethlehem. Now, there's nothing particularly significant about shepherds. Obviously, they're guarding their sheep, they're caring for them. The sheep provide wool and meat for them. Nothing significant about being a shepherd. Yet on this night, this group of shepherds have a cosmic encounter. One of God's messengers appears to them. Now, being visited by angels is not particularly common in our experience of life. They aren't even featured very regularly in Scripture. God more often speaks through his prophets. So you know that God has something extremely significant to say when he sends up one of his angels. And as we've seen over the past few weeks, the events that Luke is recording for us here are the culmination of God's plans and promises, which have been in effect since the creation of the world. So this is an event worthy of a cosmic encounter. This messenger has in fact been in God's very presence. Did you notice that from verse 9, where it says, "Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." The messenger radiates God's, the Lord's glory, just as Moses did when he stood in God's presence back in the Old Testament. And just like those ancient Israelites who came into Moses' presence at that time when they were confronted by God's glory, these shepherds here are seriously afraid. The weight of God's glory, his majesty, overwhelms them. They are greatly terrified. Maybe that's how you feel at the moment, overwhelmed and terrified by COVID, fearful of infecting others or being infected. I know there are others who are in our church community who are struggling with health issues, some with isolation and loneliness. Well, if you are stressed and burdened from our current lockdown life, listen to God's announcement again. Listen afresh. Of course, the significance of this angel is actually in the message he has from God. Listen again to his announcement in verses 10 and 11. "But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Saviour was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord.'" The angel firstly proclaims great joy. It's a message that can turn fear to joy. And this is secondly news for all people. Not just these shepherds, not just Mary and Joseph and those people living under Caesar Augustus. This is a message for us to hear too. This is a message for all people to hear. What is God's news? Well, it's breaking news. You can just imagine the ticker tape down the bottom of your TV. It's news that happened that very day. And it's about the events in David's town. We hear that news again in verse 11. A Saviour has been born. The Saviour is the Christ or the Messiah. This Saviour who has been born is the Lord. Do you comprehend the significance of that news? It depends, I suppose, how you understand those terms. Luke has already introduced a few of them, these terms, back in chapter 1. As Zechariah proclaimed in his song, the Saviour is the person who will bring about the forgiveness of sins, redemption from our slavery to sin. He will deal with God's judgment for our rejection of Him. He will deal with God's anger because of our sin. Now, in the midst of our struggles and our suffering, we often forget that our greatest need, our worst condition is actually our sin. Our rejection of God brought His anger and wrath against us. Human sin is the fundamental reason why we suffer, why this world is in upheaval. So God's announcement of a baby who will deal with our sin, that ought to bring us comfort and hope and joy. Luke also says this Saviour is the Christ or Messiah, which is the title for the Israelite kings. Just as Pharaoh is the king of Egypt, the Christ, which is a Greek term, or the Messiah, it's a Hebrew term, translation, they're translated as the anointed one, the one who has been anointed as king. And this child that's born in David's city, being a descendant of King David himself, the Israelites' greatest king, this is the king who will establish righteousness, who will rule with justice. Jesus is this Christ, this Messiah, this king. But this Christ is not just a political rival to Caesar Augustus. This child is actually the Lord. That is a title for God himself, as you find written throughout the Old Testament, and you also see it there in verse 9. This child is, to use another Old Testament title, Emmanuel. He is God with us. Do you understand the significance of this child's identity? Our Creator has become a creature. God has become a child in order to deal with our sin and establish His rule over this creation. The arrival of God's angel is really a cosmic encounter. And I hope you can see that such events like this put every other event into perspective. Caesar Augustus has the world in upheaval, yet it is the announcement by God's messenger which tells us that something even greater, something even more extraordinary has occurred. God has finally sent the one who will rescue us from sin. God has sent the one who will establish God's throne. God himself has come. Now, the proof offered by the angel to these shepherds again turns our understanding of God's ways on its head. Have a look at the sign which is offered by the messenger. This will be the sign for you, verse 12. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. If the news of the birth of God's Saviour and King had turned the shepherds' fear to joy, then again this message probably turned their joy into confusion. Because what king is laid on his first night in a food trough? It's unexpected, isn't it? Yet before we hear the angel's response, the cosmic nature of this event is amplified up to 11 on the dial. For this angel is suddenly joined by a great army of angels. That's what a heavenly host is. It's an army. This is the cosmic army that can't contain themselves. They burst into joy and praise. Unlike Zechariah and Mary's songs in Luke 1, their song is extremely succinct. It's verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people He favours." This army praises and honours God who reigns from heaven. And such praise is their expression of the joy at hearing and knowing what God has done that night. Yet they sing about what God has done for us, what God has done for the benefit of humanity. God is establishing peace with people. Of course, that might be a great news for a world that's in turmoil because of Caesar's declaration. No doubt if you're at home trying to teach your children, you'd love some peace and quiet. But let's lift our eyes to the peace that God is establishing on a cosmic scale. God is acting in mercy towards people, showing them favor, in other words, grace. He's giving them something that they do not deserve. That's how the angels proclaim what the significance of Jesus' birth is. They're really repeating how God is dealing with sin. He's forgiving the sin of those he favors. That's how God establishes peace. He has sent his Savior, his Christ, to establish peace, to reconcile us to our God. Do you see how such news can bring us joy? After such an extraordinary experience, the shepherds obviously decide to go to Bethlehem to confirm this word to them. So Luke tells us in verse 16, they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The announcement by God's messenger is confirmed as true. The sign that they were given is this: finding this baby lying in a manger. And it's interesting, the shepherds don't primarily share with Joseph and Mary about the experience they had with the angels. Luke rather points us to the message they were given. See again, have a look again at verse 17. After seeing them, they reported the message they had been told about this child. You see, that announcement is the most important aspect of this story. Finding a child in an animal's food trough is not particularly common. I suspect that some of you might have stories about the bizarre places that your children were born. For example, you should try having children in Slovenia. That was a weird experience, I'll tell you that much. However, the shepherds know what the most important thing is. They know the thing that puts the whole worldwide turmoil into perspective. It is that announcement that brings joy, the message of peace and salvation. They know that the child lying in front of them is the culmination of God's plans from the beginning of time, the fulfillment of his promises concerning a Savior and a King and the God himself coming. How do you respond to such news? What do you make of God's announcement concerning this baby Jesus? Well, Luke finishes this story by telling us about three responses to this news. And as we look at them, you might like to consider which response reflects your response to Jesus, your response to this birth announcement. Because firstly, we have the standard or default response, which is astonishment. It's amazement. See that in verse 18? All who heard it, this announcement from the message from the shepherds, were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Are you amazed when you hear about the birth of God, about a Savior lying in a food trough? Are you astonished like these people? When I first saw on the TV the planes crashing into the Twin Towers back in 2001, I was completely astonished. I just wanted to know what was happening. Why was that occurring? Likewise, it's a huge claim to make that Jesus, this child, is God, the Creator, born into this creation. If you're amazed by that claim, then we would love to show you more proof. We'd love to explain it more to you. Our desire here at North Mead Anglican Church is for you to not only know this truth, but to accept it, to know Jesus, and to find joy in him. So if you're amazed by the angels and the shepherds announcement, can I encourage you to fill out a connection card and tick saying that you want to know more? Let us know. We'd be happy to speak with you. We'd love to read the rest of this gospel with you, that you might know this Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. For that was Mary's response. In verse 19 we read, but Mary was treasuring all these things up in her heart and meditating on them. Do you see how that's more than just amazement and astonishment? Mary was treating everything that she saw and heard as something to be treasured. She had met an angel who had called her favoured. And like these shepherds, she had found favour with God. She had been shown undeserved grace. So Mary was taking note of everything. She was trying to understand it. Is that your response to the announcement that Jesus is our Saviour, our Messiah and our Lord? My encouragement to you is to keep reading through Luke's Gospel. For many of you have heard this story numerous times. This is a message which actually finds its fulfillment on a Roman cross. So can I encourage you to read through this Gospel again, praying that you might be captivated by the peace and joy that comes through knowing the significance of Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. For that is how the shepherds responded in verse 20. Luke tells us, verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds had heard God's birth announcement. They had seen the proof that this child lying in a manger was a saviour, was a king, was God born as a baby. And they had found him. This is not what we might expect of a king or of our creator. Yet the shepherds had not expected to experience God's undeserved mercy either. But they had found favour with God. For God had revealed to them his plan for this child. And that is our privilege too. We know this man who grew up and was crowned with thorns, who died on the cross for sin, and who was raised to life so that he might be exalted as the Lord over all this creation, and that through his death and resurrection, we might be reconciled to God again. Jesus is our Saviour and our King, and such a salvation is only possible because that man, Jesus Christ, is God. Knowing that and knowing God's favour, those shepherds went away praising and glorifying God. That's how they expressed their joy. Which of these three responses reflects your reaction to Jesus? Merely amazement at the claims about Jesus? Or pondering the truth of this announcement about Jesus? Or knowing true joy because you not only know the truth of the announcement, but you have experienced this peace and reconciliation with God through Jesus as our Lord and Saviour? How about I pray for us before we move on to sing? Our great God, our Father, our Creator, we thank and praise you that you have not only revealed your plans for your King and Saviour to us, but you have fulfilled these things through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We ask that you might fill our hearts with joy because we know your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, as Lord, and we know your favour to us in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing now. It's a great song that really calls us to praise God, to recognise what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. It's a very apt song for today. So belt it out like the angels and like Phil and Mike.